You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. Just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to On the Couch. On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
This moment, you are officially on the couch with Dr. Michelle. That's me, your friendly psychologist, as we are together every Friday at this time live, wherever you're at in the world. Welcome to my couch. And as usual, I have a very exciting show today, if I may say, in all modesty. We're going to be answering a lot of listeners' questions, and I also have a very special guest. Gina Hendricks, you know her, on my show. Let me set things up. First of all, if you would like to call in live, if you have any questions, problems, issues, or you just want to talk, you don't want to express some feelings, and how does that make you feel? You can give us a call here live on the air, the beautiful Los Angeles area code, 1-323-203-0815. That's 323-0815. That's the number to call here live on the air. We'd love to hear from you. And also, if you want to write me, as many of my listeners do, questions, problems, issues, relationship stuff, anything, again, you can do so on my email address, which is docmichelle@aol.com. That's D-O-C, Michelle with two L's, at AOL.com. And of course, you can check me out on my website, what I'm all about. It's Dr. Michelle Therapy. Makes sense, huh? Doctor. Just don't spell it out. Just Dr. Michelle with two L's. Therapy.com. And then you can see that I'm about positive life changes and trying to detox yourself from the drama in your life. And that's what we're all about here, is relationships and making things work, because that's the core of who you are, is how you establish relationships. Which brings me, see, I saw Jim Carrey the other night on the Pet Detective show, and he'd go, remember before he talked?
I did not see that show.
It's really intellectually stimulating.
I can't watch animal movies at my house because my dogs go cuckoo.
Oh, that's right.
So forget about animal shows for me.
Are you so cool? Well, this is Gina Hendricks, of course. You recognize her.
Yes,
of course,
don't you recognize how I look?
That's right. You're beautiful. You're marvelous as usual, darling. So nice to have you on my show
today.
It's
great to be back. Thank you.
It's great to have you back. We always have a blast here because, as you know, Gina is a relationship expert. And she has still a wonderful show,
yes,
a podcast show.
Yes, I don't do it live here. I used to do my show live, as you guys, many of you know, live here every Wednesday morning. Although now... and you know what? Who knows? I may come back. Who knows? I may do it live again. But
yeah,
right now, I'm still doing my show called Love Life Makeovers as a podcast. So you can access it if you just look up Love Life Makeovers through iTunes or any, I guess, podcast catcher things. I don't know all about that stuff.
Perfect.
But I know that if you, I know for sure you can see it and catch it and sign up for it through iTunes. So I'm still just getting started with doing, trying to keep it up. But, you know, I think the hardest thing about doing it just as a podcast and not coming in here live every week is that, you know, every Wednesday you're doing a new show. But when you leave it up to your own devices, you're not as
right,
you know, diligent about it.
Right, so, exactly.
But I am getting the shows out, and so it's
awesome.
It's still happening.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, of course, you are the creator and founder of the company,
mm-hmm,
Selective and Single Relationship Hunters.
Yeah, Relationship Headhunter.
Yes.
Is what I call myself.
Headhunter, that's right.
Yes.
It's a headhunter, which is a great idea. What a wonderful
sure,
idea. You
why
know,
not? It's a new way to look at matchmaking.
Yes.
You know? And it's just sort of, that it is what it is. You know, when somebody is looking, you know, when huge companies have a great position open in their company,
that's
they're
right,
going to hire a headhunter.
Yes, they are.
For them to find somebody to fill that great position. So it's sort of the same theory. I have very successful, great male clients who hire me to fill the position of finding a great lady to have a relationship with.
That's a wonderful idea for a company. I've always thought that was such a, gee, I wish I would have thought of that idea. But yeah, Gina Hendricks, thanks. You did already. So that's wonderful. And, you know, from what I see in my office, what I hear online, everything that I get, people, especially in Los Angeles, are really looking for that someone special.
They really are.
And it's difficult.
Yeah. Yes.
They need someone like you.
Well, and we've talked about this before. Yeah. I mean, the biggest problem I think that people come up against, especially here in LA, is they're dating basically with their egos, and they're shopping for somebody with their egos and not really looking for somebody more on an internal quality basis, but they need somebody to validate them.
Yes.
So they're looking for George Clooney or Brad Pitt or Giselle or, you know, Cameron
That's
Diaz.
Right.
And
That's
it's a problem.
It
you
is.
Know?
Yes,
a problem.
Exactly. And, you know, the
to
standards.
Talk sense into them.
Yeah, yeah. And it is. It's a, you know, I think the cities, the cosmopolitan cities, you know, you have this problem. There's a dense population of young adults out there who really would like to have a partner, would really like to have someone meaningful in their life. They're, you know, into their career, or they're done with their education, or not. They're just working and they're having a good time, but they're not meeting the quality people they'd like for a real relationship. And that's really basically what you do is really try to find, as a relationship headhunter, special, pretty much women for guys.
Yes, mostly. Yeah. Although I did start, I don't know if you know about this, but I started a new part to my company, which it's more accessible for men and women, because now I will help men and women. It's called My Date Club.
Nice.
And you just go to selectiveandsingle.com, which is my website, you know, and you can either contact me for matchmaking, which, you know, can be a bit pricey for people.
Yeah.
And I also generally only take male clients for the exclusive high-end matchmaking for a number of reasons. But my date club I started doing because what was happening is that I would have like my speed dating events or my different events.
Right.
And what it was so frustrating to me because, you know, so and so, this great guy might come to this speed dating event in April, but the girl that was there in February would be perfect for him. And they're not meeting each other because they're not coming to the same events at the same time.
Right.
And I have the benefit of knowing them.
Yes.
But they don't know each other.
Right.
And because they weren't my clients for matchmaking, I couldn't, I was actually, which isn't a smart business move, I was setting some people up just for free.
Yeah.
Just because I was dying
That's
to
just
connect
you're nice.
Them. I know.
Right. I got to see
but,
this
know,
relationship
right.
happen.
But from a business perspective, not smart. So
yeah,
I was like,
smart.
You know what? How can I make this happen so that I can still do what I love to do and make it affordable for people who don't want, like, you know, intense matchmaking.
Yes.
So I came up with my date club, and it's just a nominal monthly fee.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And now it's like, that's awesome because
that
now
is awesome.
I'm able to help even more people, and it's going really, really well.
That
so
is super.
You can just, there's a date club link on my site, like a tab at the top.
Oh, cool.
You just go to it, and you can read all about it.
They can
it.
Click on date club.
Yeah.
Which, oh, good.
Yes, but first they have to go to selectiveandsingle.com, and then they can click on the date club, and, you know,
cool.
they can always email me if they have questions. Too,
oh, that so. Is so cool.
Yeah.
You know, some of the most common complaints that I get from listeners, from clients who come in to see me at my office, you know, is that, especially here in Los Angeles, and I hate to keep saying that, but, you
we
know,
are here
folks
in Los
out
Angeles.
There in other parts of the country and the world who are listening are going, what are you talking about? We don't understand. They say that when they go out to meet someone, they go out to clubs, usually, they go out to parties, it's a networking with friends, that kind of thing. They find that, and I'm talking about women as well, not just guys, but they find that a lot of people, like you said a little bit earlier, are quite superficial. This city is all about how you look, what you drive,
right?
How skinny you can be, how you can starve yourself. And if you're like normal looking, which means you look normal in your clothing, you're fat. And so it's all about self-consciousness. I have so many single clients who come in to see me, and they're like, well, I didn't know how to interpret this from someone because they were nice to me, they were this to me, and I asked them out finally when we went out, but they were so guarded, and they seemed to talk about who they were and how special they were and all the achievements they've had and, you know, how much money they've made. And I don't want that, they say. I don't want that phony I mean, it's fun at first. It's, ooh, intriguing. But why... you know, why do they have to tell me about how successful they are? Well, I tell them indeed that it's because they don't feel okay enough
Correct.
About themselves.
Exactly.
So they have to embellish.
Yes, exactly.
And probably take about 50% of it, maybe 30% of right. it as the real deal.
Yeah.
So what are some, are those some of the most common complaints you get from people who come to see you too, is that a lot of the people they're meeting are not as genuine as they would like to be here in Los Angeles? Or?
Well, let's see here. I think that certainly there's that element to it. I find, though, that most of the people that approach me for my services are people that aren't going out to clubs and aren't, you know, aren't as socially active as they used to be, which mm-hmm. happens as
yeah,
you
sure.
work a lot or as you, you know, get into your 40s. Oftentimes, you know, you just
right.
don't have the time. So a lot of my clients, it's really for them, it's more about they just don't have the access to meeting as many people, period, and then as many great people.
Right.
That is kind of their biggest issue. And then once you get past that, you know, I don't know. I feel like, I really do feel like fortunate that by the time somebody has settled in their mind that they want my help,
right.
Especially the men for my matchmaking,
right, right.
They are very receptive to my advice and my input, and they trust me to know that I'm not going to set them up with somebody
right,
that's,
right.
you know, superficial and
yes.
not a good person. Because, you know, it's interesting, and I'm just kind of thinking about this as
right.
we're talking. I think that, you know, I don't watch the Millionaire Matchmaker show, okay? And I don't know her. I know of her a lot because
right.
it's not a day that goes by.
Right.
People don't talk to me about that show.
Sure.
But I think that certain people attract certain people. So
Absolutely.
I think she probably attracts a certain type of woman.
Right.
And I think me being me, not that I'm like, you know, Heidi from the mountains, but I am pretty damn down to earth.
You really
you
are. Know? That's what's so
I really
cool
am.
About you is that you
yeah.
instill a sense of trust
Thank
from
you.
Other people. And
Thank
you are down to earth. I mean, you're really pretty and
nice.
Intimidating, you know, and all that.
Okay.
No, you are. You're really lovely and all that. But I mean, you do. You don't have this, you know, sense of flamboyance
right.
and
or gold digger
exactly.
or
yeah
right, right pretentiousness
yeah.
so
yeah.
so it's I somehow I think that is why I'm able to seek those type of women for my clients
yes.
because I'm just seeking people that I would like
exactly
personally
right
so
exactly.
you know so there's that and I managed to find some really great women but you know again it comes down to until you put two people together
you don't know
if that chemistry is actually going to be there
exactly speaking about chemistry and we
yeah.
were talking about this before there's a thing that you have. You talk about chemistry being cultivated.
Right.
What's that all about?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
And it's something I really believe in, and I'd like to actually get your thoughts on it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I talk to a lot of women who, and if my little friend is listening today,
yes.
she knows who I'm going to be talking to right
okay.
now, where she, you know, for her, for example, she's a single mom,
right?
And she always runs into this situation with not, and she's a beautiful girl, and the
right.
and the men go crazy for her,
right?
But she still kind of, I feel like, mm-hmm. has this George Clooney fantasy.
Essentially. That's right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And so it's like, if you want a good guy, especially if you're a single mom, I think you really need to not believe that you can meet somebody for coffee and. In a coffee date, figure out whether you're gonna like him or not.
Right, exactly.
I don't believe in that because
yes,
if you
exactly.
really want to get out of that bad boy cycle, and if mm-hmm. you really want a great guy who's going to be great for your kids and great for your life,
right,
male or female, you need to be more open minded.
Yeah.
About God, you know, I'm going to be less superficial and judge him on, let's see, does he turn me on in 2 seconds or in a 30-minute
exactly.
coffee date? Or am I really just going to, like, just allow myself
yes.
to be open and receptive to just enjoying his company and kind of giving him a shot, which requires about 3 or 4 dates.
It really does.
It really does.
Because I think a lot of times what happens is on both men and women's side is when, you know, they have a figure in mind, someone they really would like to be with, you know, mm-hmm. the George Clooney, the Brad
mm-hmm.
Pitt syndrome,
yep.
that kind of thing. And I'm just thinking about one client who I have who comes to my psychological office. She's getting better, so she doesn't come that frequently, I'm happy to say. But
that's good.
Yes, it's a good thing. Getting better in terms of how she views herself, mm-hmm. you know, in the world, self-esteem. But for the longest time, she would be fixed up with or meet guys who did not meet her standard of, let's say, height.
Right.
The guy would be doing well. He was pretty responsible. He mm-hmm. may have had a little baggage. Maybe he was married before. Maybe he has one or two kids, which shows that he is committed. He is okay, and he had a long relationship, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about one guy in particular. Mm-hmm. He was sort of attractive, mm-hmm. I thought, mm-hmm. from the pictures I saw. I thought right. he was, you know, pretty okay. But he wasn't George Clooney or Brad Pitt. But she said he was a little too short.
Short, yeah.
She wanted 5'9", 5'10", or above.
Do. All the ladies and, do. It's a problem.
Know, yeah, it's a problem. Really a problem. And this guy was, I think he was 5'7".
Yeah.
Now, to me, you know what? A lot of the cuter guys are shorter. It's just, you know, yeah. that's my thing.
Me too. I'm fine with that. I yeah. like a guy, actually, that's even my height that I can, like, grab onto. I don't
that's
know.
Exactly
it's weird.
Right.
I just love it.
I have this little provocative. I have this aunt who is Japanese. Mm-hmm. And I used to tease her about her husband's. She's Japanese-American. Mm-hmm. And she would always pick Japanese
now?
Men. Yes.
How old is she?
Well, she's in her 60s. Okay. Hey, I'll fix you up. But she used to pick Japanese American men.
Okay.
And I said, why don't you get hooked up with some guys who are, she was married to my uncle. That's,
okay.
He was 6'1". Uh-huh. And why don't you get, you know, with guys, you know, some guys who are, you know, because you're very, you know, you really like that type. You like mm-hmm. Caucasian men. You mm-hmm. like that. And she goes, you know what? It's my culture. I like Japanese men. And I like them because they're about as tall as I am. And we're all the same size in bed.
How funny. That's true. It's
we're
true.
All, when we're right. all laying down, we're the same size. And I went,
right.
Right. I kind of, wow. That
yeah,
was pretty.
Funny. That's very true.
That's quite insightful,
and you
actually.
Know, you know what I've actually heard? Yeah. And I don't know if it's true or not. But somebody says that actually sex is better with somebody that's closer to your own height.
Yes.
Because everything just matches up and fits better.
Well, you know, that makes sense. Doesn't
totally
that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, the giant, mm-hmm. the giant
it's odd
in whatever it's, position.
Yeah.
It's like,
Right. It's very true. I mean, and I've had insane sex with men who are about my height. And,
yes.
you know, I'm 5'6". So what does that tell you? So
there you go.
I have a fantastic client who is about 5'6". And he is a composer. He has a house in the Palisades.
Wow.
He's never been married.
Right.
He would be open to dating a single mom. He would be open to having kids. He's in his mid-40s. And he's handsome.
Wow.
He's just short-ish. You know what I mean? 5'6"
yes.
is short for a guy. And he's fabulous. And
right.
that's the problem. Height.
Right.
Lady,
exactly.
You know? And he's successful and fabulous. And, you know. So if any ladies
yes.
might be open and receptive, you guys write to me at info@selectiveandsingle.com.
That's right. And if you just turned in, I'm talking with Gina Hendricks, of course. She is the creator and founder of selectiveandsingle.com. She's the relationship headhunter, helping many of her clients are men, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But she does also have the...
Females now in my date club.
Yep, the date club. She gets people together and stuff like that. So that's who we're talking to today, and we're having a blast because you are a relationship expert. That's how I consider you. In my private practice in psychology, I really do like to work with couples and their relationships. And my whole thing... See, I'm the next step. I'm after they've, you know, finally gotten it together, that work out more communication, work mm-hmm. out more, wow, you should have nailed down some of these issues that you have before you even got married or
right.
before you even started living together. You should have nailed down things about finances
right.
and in-laws or, you know, other siblings and or what you'd like sexually from the other person and what do you expect in terms, you know,
well,
but people just don't do these things.
No, that's what
yeah.
we were, you know, kind of, that's this whole thing of what we're talking about with, you know, people not making correct choices. I
right.
mean, it's not romantic to say, you know, you should pursue a mate like you'd pursue a job or interview them like you'd pursue a prospective employee.
Right.
But you know what? You should.
Yeah.
Because the romance can come after. And that's when, again, this to tie it all into creating chemistry, that's my point.
Exactly.
It's like, you know, you need to make sure this person is qualified to even have you be chemically or chemically attracted to them or have the chemistry kick in.
Yes.
You've got to pre-qualify somebody and then work on, you know, letting the chemistry happen, which I believe
exactly.
if you're in the right mindset
that's right.
and you're receptive
yep.
to somebody just treating you really well
yes.
and enjoying inner qualities, then the chemistry in that regard, I think, can be cultivated.
Exactly.
Because it's happened with me, so I know it can happen.
And if they're the slightest, if they have, you know, one quality that you really like about them physically or one thing, I mean, you can cultivate. It's about the inner person. It's about the soul. Because, as they say, at the end of the day, after you've, you know, slept with Brad Pitt or the guy who looks like, you know, George Clooney, the really
right?
good-looking
Johnny
model
Depp,
guy.
Whoever.
After you've slept with him, you know, so many times and, you know, and you're looking forward to being, and it's great and fun and exciting and all that.
And he won't commit to you.
Right.
Or you have to pay for your own dates or whatever.
That's
yeah.
the thing. Starts getting weirder because they are so, they know that they're so good looking and they can have their pick. And they
absolutely.
Can, you know, you want someone who is really down to earth and not a narcissist.
Who wants to be with you.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And that, you know, these are the main things. Women don't understand a lot of times why. Why can't I find someone? Why don't you pick someone who is more down to earth and who really is the real deal?
Right. Because guess what? Everybody wants Johnny Depp.
That's right. That's
I mean,
right.
Come on.
No.
So what? You know, here's another thing.
Yeah.
I say that everybody seems to be so so stuck on the, you know, the theory of like that movie 16 Candles. Do you remember
right.
that, the Molly
right.
Ringwald
exactly.
thing?
Exactly.
Where, you know, this unattractive, unpopular, redhead, flat-chested chick gets the studly Porsche-driving dude that everybody wants in high school.
Yep.
Everybody, every woman seems to believe, and men believe that they can be 16 Candles. They can be Molly Ringwald. And guess what?
Yeah.
That was a effing movie, guys.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. It's not the
movie.
Real thing. Someone wrote it out of a fantasy
yeah.
and out of a dream. And
you
once
know?
In a, you know, blue moon that might happen or something.
Correct.
But I mean, the real deal is we really have to, you know, and I think this is really important, is write down
mm-hmm.
exactly what qualities are really important.
Qualities.
And if you're starting out with, well, he has to be 6'2",
uh-huh. good looking,
and he has to have a lot of hair, and he has to be really good looking, sort of like, you know, you're okay, then you don't deserve quite now anyone who you want to get serious with. You deserve to play around and have a good time
and
do it.
You should also be buying a lottery ticket every week.
That's right.
Because your chances
yeah.
are about the same.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I hate to say that, and it's not to say, you know, but see, women will come back at me and men with, well, why should I settle? I'm not saying settle.
Right.
I'm not saying settle, because to me, having a fabulous life and being treated well is not settling.
Right.
So,
no,
you know.
That's right. That's not that. That's the,
just making up your mind. Just like with sex
right.
or with anything, mm-hmm. it is in your mind. So if you make up your mind to only want to be with a guy because of how he treats you, then you can make up your mind to be attracted to that same guy because
exactly.
of how he treats you. You can make up your mind that mm-hmm. if a guy has a small, you know, dick and you love him so much, that sex is amazing.
Because you love him, and you've made up your mind that that's not a big deal.
Exactly.
It's no pun intended. But I mean, you know, it's not really, you have to decide the important things that you want in the long run. If you're really looking for, and if you are looking for the shallow things for immediate gratification, go for it. Enjoy. Have a good time. And, you know, when you're 38 or 40, you're going, oh, wow.
Or 50.
I'm like lonely.
Yeah.
Or 50, you know, wow, I wish I would have. Gee, maybe I should have really started talking to that guy who wasn't 5'11" and didn't have his own business,
mm-hmm.
or did have his own business and really was kind and sweet, but he wasn't sexy enough. He wasn't a bad boy.
Yeah.
He didn't have that flair and that, you know.
Yes, the flair.
The regrets. You
right.
know, all the regrets that come. Right. I hear a lot of women saying, and men.
Yeah,
wow,
and
I should have. Maybe I should have really pursued that lady who wasn't as hot as some of the other women around me, but boy, she was so nice and loving, and she had a good heart, and she was stable, and, you know, she took care of herself.
Right.
She wasn't, you know, messy and you know.
And if you just think that, you know, when you're hearing this and you think,
right.
well, that I just can't help myself. I really want to be. I want somebody hot and sexy, and that's just all I'm attracted to.
Yes.
And I can't fake it.
Yeah.
Well, then you need to start working on yourself
yep.
and
that's
figure
right.
out why your ego needs that, because
exactly.
that's all that is.
No, I agree
it's
completely.
Your ego. Yeah,
I agree, folks. If you just tuned in, I'm talking with Gina Hendricks She is the founder and creator of Selective and Single. It's you can find her at selectiveandsingle.com.
Yes, you can.
At your website. And she's a relationship headhunter, primarily working with guys here in the Los Angeles metropolitan area. But she also works with women. She has a date club. If, ladies, you are listening to this and you'd like to check out her date club where you can meet eligible guys.
Yes. Well, you know, women can join my database for free.
Cool. Oh, yay.
If they want. So yeah. I sort of say, you can be a sitting duck in my database.
Yes.
Or you can be a little bit more proactive and join the date club if you're not ready for the heavy duty expensive matchmaking. So there's, you know, you got three options there.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So. I have some listener emails that I think you and I should respond to because this is perfect for you and your business. And these may be some common, I don't know, some of these are really bizarro. And that's why I pick them out. But I love you, listeners. I really do. But I really understand that you're having a rough time out there trying to find someone and commit and all this. So here, let's – I'm not going to give their names. I'm just going to say – I'm going to call them Dear Lost.
Okay.
How's that? Dear Dr. Michelle, I've been dating a commitment phobe off and on for over a year. And as can be expected, the relationship has been a roller coaster ride. He has always returned with humble apologies when he decides to dump me and then come back to me. I've always forgiven him. I really like him. I enjoy his wit, humor. He's very intelligent and cute. Mm-hmm. I love him and don't think I will find another guy as similar to me as he is. I'd love to settle down, but I'm waiting for him to change so we can... Waiting for him to change.
Keep waiting.
Right. Christmas is coming. So we can finally be together in a long-term committed relationship. Is this wasting my time? What should I do? Well, I would give him an ultimatum. I'd say let's plan a date of commitment when we're going to commit. Now, let's see. She's been with him how long? Over a year. Wow. Okay, so that's, you know, that's solidifying a relationship. I mean, you really kind of know that person by
right.
now.
Well, and the thing is, don't you believe, Dr. Michelle, that everybody, she knows the answer.
Yeah.
She just wants us to tell her something different.
Right.
And it ain't going to happen. She's going to keep asking her friends. She's going to ask everybody. She's so searching for another answer to what she already knows
right.
is the truth.
Justification for her waiting for the perfect guy.
Yeah, so she, you know, she can become 40, she can become 50, she can become 60,
right.
have a bunch of cats, and, you know, and enjoy that life if she's going to wait for that guy.
If somebody continues to give you pain and grief in a roller coaster relationship, especially for over a year, it's not going to make you happy.
Now, do you think, Dr. Michelle, I think that if you're in a relationship in it, whether it's you're 2 months in, 3 months in, or a year in, if you break up, don't you think that should just be it? Because people that get back together, to me, I think, with my experience, is that it just seems like whatever issue initially broke you up is, I don't know if that sounds right, but whatever, you get the gist. It seems to resurface again and again and again.
It's true. As I agree with you, however, as a psychologist, my job is to find out, and usually they come back to me as a couple, we keep having this issue, let's work through it. A while back, I had a couple who they communicated extremely differently. She was very right brain, verbal, artistic, emotional. She wasn't borderline, you know, over the top bitch, you know what I'm saying. She was a really articulate woman who could verbalize her feelings and was very introspective. He, on the other hand, and he was a very nice guy. They both were a cool couple together. They looked great.
Very and LA of you, Dr. Michelle.
I know, wasn't that LA of me?
You knew it.
So
I could
great
see the
together.
Look on your face when you
they
said
looked
it.
Great. They'd have great kids. Not that they were, you know. You know, Cameron
Hobbits.
Diaz and,
okay.
you know, Justin Timberlake. I don't think they're together anymore. No, they're not.
Anyway,
that's old news. Anyway, but you know what I'm saying? They both just seemed to work, and they had an energy that I thought was great together. But the way he communicated, he was like a systems analyst. This guy was so right brain, down to the point, straightforward, next saw the problem, let's do it now. And she would say, well, you look depressed. You know, typical example, they were living together, and they've known each other for 3 years now. So it was, gosh, how are you? How was your day? You seem depressed. Well, he would go come home, and then he would go into the room and start going on the computer, and then he'd start doing video games or something, and he wouldn't talk. He needed downtime.
Right.
Because his brain was so fried by the time he got home, he never communicated to her that I need some downtime and I need to stare at something for a while. And she took it personally. I mean, this is just one little example.
Mm-hmm.
So she would say, what are you thinking? What are you feeling? What's going on with you? How, are you mad at me? And he'd say, no. And he'd get mad because he wasn't. He didn't know how to articulate.
But how long was his downtime? And would he do that every day?
No, he was not addicted to the internet.
Okay.
He was not addicted to games. He just needed about probably an hour to go online, check other personal stuff. He wasn't doing porn.
All right.
No,
right.
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He was just really pooped.
Okay.
So he would come home. And then they'd have dinner. You know,
yeah,
they have the regular,
okay.
And then they'd talk. But she was always the talker. And what are you feeling? What are you thinking? They talk about their friends. They talk about, you know, work, of course. And she would talk about because she was in communication. She would talk more about, you know, the psychological aspects and the feeling and how people are acting. And he'd just sit and kind of not be able to relate. He'd just say, yeah, uh-huh. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It wasn't because he was a bad guy. He was just, let's solve the problem. Let's move on to another subject. So my job was to get them, and this was like you said, should they have broken up and just be done with it? They worked through their communication. He got tools on how to, look, it's tough, I know, but you have to learn how to ask her questions. You have to read her body language. You have to learn how to interpret what she's saying. And try to make that effort to get out of your own brain, your right brain, and say, so how was it today? And, oh, how's Karen? Was it weird at work? You know, did you have that issue?
Mm-hmm.
Get yourself out of the box and act. See, she took it that he wasn't interested.
Right.
He was.
Okay.
It just wasn't important to him in his world of right brain systems analyst
so
stuff.
Then they both started communicating.
They both started communicating. She backed off.
Okay.
She learned to back off a little bit and not hound him.
Right.
So you never do this. You come on. What's going on? Da-da-da. So they could both have come to an agreement. Otherwise, they had a pretty good relationship. They enjoyed the same things. They apparently had a good sex life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they both had income. They both had agreement on religion. These really important factors came into play. But it was just communication differences. And that's something, like you said, that people can cultivate as well.
And,
you know, they can learn.
Well, I want to hear the end. So what happened?
Yeah, they're together
they're
doing
all
well.
Good?
They come
great.
Back for brush-ups occasionally, as I call them, brush-up sessions. If, you know, he still kind of gets out of the zone there and goes into, you know, analytical and shutting down.
And are they married?
Nope, not yet.
Okay.
They're planning on it.
They are?
They are.
Wow.
And, yeah,
well, good
it's
for
really
them.
Cool.
Okay.
It's
okay.
Cool.
But
and
they didn't break up, did they?
They did.
Oh, they did split up.
Probably
about, well,
I would say it's been an off and on, not a lot of drama, but it's like, well, now they're to the point actually to where they decided to have their own places, which I like.
Okay.
They've lived together. They know.
I don't think they'll get married, Dr. Michelle.
You don't think?
Mm-mm. I don't think it's going to work out.
Okay.
And I'm being the armchair, you know.
Well, you're the relationship
amateur.
Expert.
Oh, come on now. I mean, you know, I don't have all the, you know, the training or anything. I just, I don't know. I'd bet you $50. I don't know.
Okay, baby, under the table.
Okay.
Let's write it out.
It's $50 if they're going to get married. And I have a friend of mine who's supposed to get married July 20th. And they've broken up a few times, he and this girl. And I know him, and he's, you know, a little cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, a little emotional and stuff. And I swear, I just don't believe they're going to make it to the altar July 20th. We'll see.
Okay.
It won't last if they do. It sounds also negative, but it's just, you just, there's just things. There's just the, you know, the little pieces to the puzzle that you go,
there are really significant factors that you have
to. Nothing's perfect, so.
No, nothing's perfect. But you can, first of all, you can't fix anybody, like this young lady who wrote in. She can't fix him.
Right.
I'm waiting for him to change. Right.
Right.
You know, this is your big issue, is he has a commitment issue. You know, tell him to go to therapy. Tell him to find out why he fears getting close to others is going to hurt him in some way. Or maybe they'll find out that he really is a loser, that he thinks he is, which is not true,
you know,
usually.
It's interesting, I find that women especially would much rather be with a really good looking loser than an average or even less attractive super successful guy any day of the week. Seriously.
Exactly.
it's a crying shame because
it is.
It just doesn't make your life better, and I'm all about making my life better these days and making everybody's life better. I have a question for you that a lot of women ask me, And, you know, and you know, I think that you're a good one to bounce it off of. So how would a woman know if she's dating a guy? Okay. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my friend Karen swears by the rules, which in the rules, you don't verbalize things. Like, I know you said you'd give them an ultimatum. Karen would say, no, you just teach them by basically your actions, not your words necessarily. So if a woman is dating a guy, okay, how does she know when she's in a committed relationship that is actually moving towards marriage? Mm-hmm. How would she know that, do you think?
Well, I think that trust is a big issue. I think if someone is consistent and does what they say they're going to do, in other words, they're going to plan every time they get together, they're pretty consistent, and or if they're not going to be together at a certain time, that person, let's talk about the guy, because mm-hmm. you're talking about a lady, he lets her know, honestly, ahead of time. And there are not a lot of those excuses. So trust is a big issue. Trust is, he's not looking, when you're out in public, he's not looking around and checking out other women. And
does
not,
he need to be, at what point does he need to be talking about the future?
Mm. How far into good the question. Do you think? No, mm-hmm. I think it just depends on all the organic unfolding of each relationship mm-hmm. has a time frame. I think it takes a while to really get to know someone. I'd say, you know, I have couples that come to me and say, we know in the first 3 weeks we knew that we were both going to get married. We fell in love with each other.
Should a woman, though, be hearing things like should a woman be hearing from the guy just in conversation, not specifically to mm-hmm, her, mm-hmm. but like, yeah, you know, I'd like to get married in the next few years, or you know what I mean?
Yeah,
or
yeah.
I want to be a family guy, or because like, okay, we'll go back to my friend Karen, because my friend Karen said, even from the very beginning of dating her husband, I mean, right away he was like, yeah, I can't wait to get married, and I want to have kids someday. And so this guy is a guy who's talking about future, maybe not with her, because I think that's a red flag when some guy is talking about taking you away to Spain in like the first or second date, or planning your marriage in the first, that's weird. And usually those guys run off as fast as they ran in. But in that regard, what do you think?
So you're talking about general information. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. If, you know, from the very beginning, when you're just learning about someone, yeah, like the first or second dates, you're getting little tidbits of information. But I think as you get to know someone within the first several weeks, you're getting clues about, you know, I think that's the really important thing about people who meet each other at the beginning and you are looking for a committed relationship. It's important that you put that out there. So yeah, the guy should, you know, indicate in some way when they're first meeting someone that this is really what I'd like in my life. And, you know, talk about some of the, yes, I would, you know, someday I really would like children. And it's also really important to hear, and for guys, we're talking about guys, mm-hmm. but women too, uh-huh. but guys seem to be a little more vague about this, about their past. And because you can learn a lot about someone's past.
Sure, that's true. So should a woman ask then the questions? Like,
oh, sure.
You don't want to come off, I mean, because you get, there's so many different theories on this.
Right.
Okay, I like to play devil's advocate. That's why I'm asking you these questions.
Sure.
I mean, I have my own theories, but you're the expert. So I'm like switching the roles here.
Sure.
I'm asking you.
Okay.
I know I'm supposed to be the guest. But so do you think that, you know, because women are so afraid of, you know, being like the detective and saying, so how long were you married? So we're afraid to ask the questions because we don't want to seem like we're probing or that we're pushing them in any way.
Oh, exactly.
But so then should we or shouldn't we?
Well, not, it depends. On the first date, you're going to just get a little bit of information. I think as things take time. And again, what's the time clock? Indeed, women should ask these questions because they want to know.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't come off creepy and imposing on someone right away. You know, okay, like you have a checklist. Okay, first of all, have you been married before? How long?
Do you have any felonies?
How long?
Have car insurance? Do you have a valid driver's license? Although I ask that sometimes. I mean, it's an important checklist.
No, it's really.
If a guy
true.
Doesn't have car insurance, okay, that's a red flag.
There you go, baby. If he doesn't have a license, he's had many DUIs.
Yes,
probably,
that's a red flag.
Yeah. So no, but I mean, yeah, it's very important to appropriately, whatever that means,
I think,
at your own pace,
Dr. Michelle,
ask questions.
Right. If a guy is not a commitment phobe or a woman's not a commitment phobe, they're not going to be put off by the question.
No.
So do you want to get married someday. So is marriage, you know, do you see marriage in your future?
Right.
I only think somebody that's going to be scared off by that, mm-hmm. that would be scared off by it, period, mm-hmm. because they're
yeah.
commitment phobic.
Yeah, exactly.
I
agree.
Don't know.
No, absolutely. And also, you know, again, how many have you been married before? Wow, that's, you know, and as time goes on, not to nail them on the first, second, or
sure.
you know, third date,
sure.
things unravel.
As it evolves.
And how long was that relationship? It's really important to find out the longest committed relationship they have been in. Because mm-hmm. if they have not been in a very long committed relationship, especially by the time they're 35, mm-hmm. I would say, or even 30. But 30, let's get 35, guys. Mm-hmm. Chances are, in rare circumstances, chances are they're going to always have issues. And there is an issue going on with them to where they make the people go away or they can't take being too close to someone or having too much information revealed about themselves. So, and marriages, oh my God. I had this lady, she really liked this guy. He was very charming. He was kind of good looking.
Mm-hmm.
He was in his mid-40s, all right? She mm-hmm. was a little younger. And she was telling me about this. They didn't come in together.
Okay.
But
okay.
she was telling me about the fact that she was kind of like this lady again who uh-huh. emailed us, who was kind of on the fence about, I don't know what to do. He's really cute, and he's 45, and he's really successful, and he's in the entertainment industry. Right there, a red flag went up for me. but, okay. And he's really, it seems outward, and he's so charming, which was a huge red flag
charming.
For me. Narcissist.
Yeah. And, yes, the most charming guys I've dated have been narcissists.
They really,
totally right.
they really are. And it's all about them. And they do uh-huh. not have a problem with verbalizing and
right.
talking about themselves and their successes and other people around them. But the most significant thing was she said to me, he's been married 4 times. And I went, hello. And none of the women had passed away. So, you
right,
know,
right.
this was not a valid. So there's something going on with this guy that's either making the women go, bye-bye, sucker,
yeah.
or he can't hang on to it because he's always looking for another woman
something
in some
better,
way.
Something better.
Better. Got to chase. So that's one of the biggest red flags for me is when, you know, we're talking about guys again, is when someone has been, and women as well, but
do you think
someone's
it's worse if somebody's in their mid-40s and they've never been married or if they've been married 4 times?
I don't know if it's worse. I think it's worse probably if they've been married 4 to 5 times
okay.
or something. I have a friend who he has been married 7 times.
See, now I kind of look at it like, damn, they are determined to
well,
find somebody.
Well,
that's the person who takes a leap of faith.
It's not about that to me. What yeah. it's about is just, you know, exploring why he needs to have that comfort.
Right.
Why does he need to have that? Okay, well, I'm with someone now. I don't feel whole without having a girlfriend to hang on to my arm. I don't feel
right.
completely filled up. I need someone to fill me up mm-hmm. inside. But then when I start getting out there and seeing others and I get desirous of other women, then okay, I'm filled up now. Next.
Mm, interesting. You'd love to. I think it would be so awesome if you could interview people's exes.
Oh, it would be.
That'd be great.
Well, it would be so cool because then you could find out, you know, what
yeah.
were the habits and then you find
right.
the common problems,
right.
you know, behind this.
Because when you talk to people, and I actually have now that I have this that question in my questionnaire, not on my site, but when I meet somebody in person.
Yeah.
You know, I go over their who they are and what they're about, right? And
right.
so everybody's going to say all the great things about themselves.
Exactly.
And then I say, well, if I were to talk to somebody that you've dated,
mm-hmm.
what would they say
right.
was the reason that you guys broke up?
Exactly.
And they're just like, oh, because then
ooh.
They're going to have to reveal
right.
things about themselves that
right.
they know the other person would think.
Right.
And so it kind of helps me a little bit.
I think
you know
that's
I mean?
A great idea.
Yeah.
It really does help
yeah,
you.
It really does.
And guys, if you just tuned in, I'm talking with Gina Hendricks, and she has a wonderful business. She also has a podcast on the air if you'd like to listen to her. And it's selectiveandsingle.com.
Yes, that's my website.
Yeah, that's your website, actually.
And you can see if you go to selectiveandsingle.com,
right.
that's one-stop shopping. You
right.
can email me through there. You can find the date club. You can sign up for my database. You can access my podcast, my shows, my YouTube videos. It's all one-stop shopping right
that's
there.
That's so cool.
Cool.
And you are a relationship headhunter for people. And you are not, you know, the... You're really down to earth. That's what I love about you, Gina, is you really are interested in helping people. You have an earnest, caring heart about you. And you see people and you go, wow, this would work. And it's your passion and you're so good at it.
I do have a genuine interest in really, really just helping people connect and find relationships or love or whatever it is they're looking for. Because, I mean, L.A. can be a lonely place.
Life really can be
a lonely place.
It really
and,
can.
And I think maybe because I've been an only child, I know, you know, it's lonely by yourself.
It
so
is sometimes. And you have
I like to help people.
That's
I really
so
do.
Cool.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Now, shall we read one more?
Sure.
Let's see. I'm trying to pick which one.
Some doozy.
I like this one. This is a doozy.
Okay, good. Let's do a doozy.
All righty. Dear Dr. Michelle, it's from a guy. Seems to me that everybody I know has either a girlfriend or boyfriend, and this really makes me pissed off due to the fact that I don't have a girlfriend and that the biggest losers or misfits I know have one. I do socialize with girls, but it's just that I don't really have interest in many of them because they are my friends or they're not my type. What I'm really looking for a girl, is extremely beautiful inside and out. Someone who is, extremely smart and can handle my personal problems. I would like, if she is Caucasian, must be a brunette. Let's see here. If she is Indian, Pakistani, Mediterranean, she has to have light skin and be very sexy. She must love pets. Someone who can calm my anger and arrogance sometimes. I have to admit, in parentheses, these are some of my weaknesses. Well, at least he's honest.
Yeah.
Also,
and he
like,
likes animals. Those seem to be a couple of redeeming qualities.
Someone who has a great body.
Did he include a picture of himself?
No, of course not. Someone who's funny. Oh, I like this part. And someone who's just about my height or shorter than 5'11", but taller than 5'3". Though these qualities are way too much to ask for a girl, I just want to meet one exactly like that. Could you give me a few tips on how to meet the girl I desire? Let alone get one? Well, that's a whole other part B, you know, that we're going to talk about. P.S. Don't tell me to go online or advise me to go to classified magazines to meet someone. I think I know why he doesn't have a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
what would that be?
Well, I think he's arrogant.
Right. I think only somebody like you could actually tell me what psychological disorder this guy has. Do you know a name for it?
I just think, I don't know. I can't really
know. It sounds like he's got like a bag full of issues.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, where do you begin? First of all, the guy's got a chip on his shoulder.
Of course.
That he's like mad at everybody else that's in a relationship.
That's right.
And then it goes on from there. I mean, his expectations are unrealistic. I mean, I don't know what he looks like, but it's just like, who the hell is going to, how does this guy, he doesn't say anything about himself, huh?
Well, the thing that really, what cracks me up is, why should any other person have to manage your feelings?
Right.
She can help me manage my, excuse me.
Tell him to hire a hot personal assistant and call it a day and
date
a legitimate lady.
There you
for
go.
Love.
There you go. Exactly.
There you go.
Go get therapy. Find out, work through your anger issues. Find out that you are the only one who can manage your anger. Your arrogance, why is that? Well, it's a sign of deep, low self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be arrogant and put on airs for everyone else. Mm-hmm. A lack of self-acceptance. And it's like the anger about towards other people, like you said, is really, that's kind of scary. Me. And that is exactly what keeps him from finding the right person. He's blowing these women off, or he comes off like an arrogant jerk. And if he's the slightest bit aggressive or angry, comes off like that. Oh, that's a major turnoff.
Here's his advice. Hire a hot personal assistant who physically looks exactly like what he's looking for.
Right.
And he can work out all of his issues with a girl that's at least making a paycheck.
There you
and
go.
And he's helping the economy. And then he can go get therapy and then go date like a genuine woman who has good qualities. So there you go. Everybody's happy.
That's exactly
win-win.
Right. And all we want is someone who loves us and make us makes us feel safe and appreciated.
Right.
And he wants someone who's going to help change his moods, who's going to be perfectly physically up to his standards.
Mm-hmm.
He's extremely smart, extremely fun. Well, hello.
Yeah.
Come on, give
Don't
me a break. All.
So he also needs to be buying those lottery tickets every week, too.
That's exactly right. I think what he needs to do is just have friends for a very long time.
Right.
Friends. Go to therapy. Learn about how you talk with a woman who you may be eventually committed with. Or
he says he has
with.
Girlfriends there yeah. that are friend, you know, yeah. girls as friends, but
yeah.
he's not. I doubt it. I would love to know. You know, that's the thing. People only tell you what they want to tell you. I mean, I need the whole backstory.
I hear you.
Like,
exactly.
What does this guy look like? What? How old is he? You know,
exactly.
It's that backstory that really changes everything.
It does. And what I say to you is learn to love yourself.
That's
Go
right.
get some therapy and find out why you're so arrogant and angry. And you need a lot of stuff to go on, because you're going to just keep going through women who do believe that you are an arrogant jerk or someone who has dependent personality disorder, who will put up with your crap because they need someone so bad, and you can go ahead and treat them badly, and that's really sick.
Right.
But if that's what makes him happy too, then so be it.
But it's like he's looking for a needle in a haystack.
Yes.
At that.
Yes. Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know.
Give me a break. So yeah. That's it. Well, listen, it's about our time to go bye-bye.
Ah,
Gina,
so
it's
fun.
Been so nice to have you.
Thank
as
you.
Always.
I love being here.
Oh, great. It's great to have you. You're so much fun, and you're intelligent, and you help people out, and that's what I love. Folks, if you'd like to go ahead and give them information about your website again, Gina.
Okay,
and then,
sure. Mm-hmm. You guys can go to my website, selectiveandsingle.com. Phone number's there. You can email me through there. It's info@selectiveandsingle.com. Mm-hmm. And it's everything from soup to nuts,
yeah.
love related. So go
exactly.
there. Get your info. Get your help.
That's
get on
right.
track.
That's exactly right. Oh, boy. Well, listen, folks, this is Dr. Michelle, your friendly psychologist. I do have to book. It's about that time. So do contact me on my website, Dr. Michelle Therapy. @AOL.com, Dr. Michelle Therapy, and it's DR. We're not spelling out the whole thing. There's two L's in my name. Also, you can email me if you have listeners, problems, questions, issues, at docmichelle@AOL.com. I'd love to hear from you. It's been a pleasure, as always. You can stay on my couch if you would like, but get ready for great shows. Bye-bye.